Live from Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming with
tonight's guest, psychologist and director, Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gidlitz.
Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Malia Carvalho. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
One of the endearing stories I heard at the beginning of this stay-at-home period was that a lot of the shelters, as I understood it, for animal shelters, were empty because people had gone out and gotten themselves animals because they knew they were going to be at home and that they would be able to take care of them, or they wanted company or whatever the situation was. I thought, wow, that's really nice for the animals. Unfortunately, it also reminded me of a story that I used to hear about people buying little chicks around Easter, or little bunnies, and then after Easter would pass, for their kids and all, and after Easter would pass, or after the chicks would turn into chickens or roosters, and the bunnies would get big and adult, and people just didn't have time for them or didn't know what to do with them then. Then some not nice things happened to all those animals. And I've heard stories like that too, when the Dalmatian movie came out, and then people found out that Dalmatians are not as easy to care of as some of the dogs or care for. And so I believe that, especially with animals, plants too, and things like that, but we're not buying furniture, we're not buying rugs, or it's not like painting the house a different color inside because we want to change. These are beings. They have feelings, and they deserve respect. And I am so excited that we have a conversation today that is very important, not just for this stay-at-home time, but what happens when we're not having to stay at home, hopefully very soon, and what happens always from here on, as we get to be a little bit more conscious about how we make decisions around animals and pets. So our guest indeed is Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gidlitz, and she is on the board of directors of an organization, the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, and why we've titled this show, or this episode, Animal Hope and Wellness. A little later on, we're going to have live music with our musical guest, Malia Carvalho, all on the Life Changes Show at Home edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, PHI, Beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio online with Mark Lejeure, our producer and co-host.
I am excited for tonight's show. I know it's going to be great, and I want to give a quick shout out to Life Changes Network's good friend, Stephanie Lodge, also better known as the Hug Angel, for making the introduction to us, to the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation.
Indeed. Thank you, Stephanie. And with that, so we have titled the show Animal Hope and Wellness, this episode with our guest, a medical oncologist, and she's on the board of directors of the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. Welcome, Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz, to the show.
Thank you so much, Filippo and Mark. I'm very, very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, and it's always an important time to be conscientious of our animals' needs, and my heart goes out to all the people that have been suffering in so many ways that they have hopefully had animals that have cared for them during this time. I want to make sure those animals are cared for after this time and beyond.
Yes, I mean, you know, we can only hope for the best, you know, especially if people took them from shelters, you know, that they committed to them. Maybe, you know, maybe the pandemic and the stay at home was an impetus for them to finally go out and introduce a dog or cat to their life. And, you know, hopefully they have great intentions, and after the pandemic, they'll find new ways to work remotely so they can, you know, keep spending quality time with their loved ones and their pets.
And of course, it's not going to be possible for everyone to work remotely. And when you and I were talking, your passion for animals it has made you come up with so many different ways to support animals. But before we get into any of that, and before we get out of the stay-at-home time period, when they start to get busier, what are some of the things to take into consideration when they're not as home as much? And
yeah, that dogs are still, you know, dogs and cats, they're still kept to a schedule, that especially dogs are still walked and exercised and cared for. And I mean, you know, the commitment just has to continue, maybe in another way. Maybe they can spend more time with them on the weekends and go out for hikes and get some sun. But, you know, we can only hope for the best, and the great intentions and the great hearts of the people that have, you know, cleaned the shelters out of these pets.
And you were saying something that I thought was really great. I know that there are dog walkers out there now, and I know not everybody can afford a dog walker, and some people don't have that luxury, but there are people that have either time on their hands or might want the exercise, and you had some great ideas around that.
Yeah, I mean, we can always reach out to neighbors to see if we can help take their dogs for a walk, and there's always children and teenagers that are of an age that are responsible enough that, you know, perhaps can help with the dog care. So yeah, there's a lot of workarounds for when people have to go back to work, and they can hopefully still care for their beloved dogs and cats.
So speaking of caring and people being busy, so it just struck me when I read the word oncologist. Now, I had read doctor many times, but when I read oncologist, I thought every oncologist that I know is very, very busy, and all the other things that you're doing, and you're taking this time to be on this board of directors and to help the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. This is, I think you described it as a calling.
Yes, I think it's more of just a true passion of my heart to go and help these dogs and cats rescued from such extreme cruelty. And, you know, because I have some medical background, when I do go to China to help out, I can help the veterinarians out, giving antibiotics and sub-Q fluids and cleaning wounds, et cetera. So, you know, I'm put to good use because of my medical background. But yes, I think that we try, and I've had the luxury and you know, the ways and means to, you know, really pursue my passion in helping these dogs.
Well, like I wrote on my personal Facebook page, I've had the experience, actually thanks to Mark and thanks to Stephanie, to visit the location that's near my home here in Los Angeles. And one of the things that struck me so much is there were these three particular dogs, and I remember asking about them and finding out that they were wild dogs and that nobody had adopted them for various reasons over a long period of time. It'd been years. And so I said, so this is a no. And I didn't want to say the word. I thought, how else do we say this? Because the dogs were there. So tell us more about the philosophy around that.
Well, I mean, we like to give all of these sentient beings a second chance, and I'm not sure I know the exact dogs that you're referring to, but they sound like, you know, they're just feral and just very afraid of people. But we always find a wonderful, loving situation for them. There's always someone out there that's willing to share their life, even with the most feral of dogs, and they know that it'll be a really long haul to get the dogs to, you know, want to have human interaction because of whatever happened to their in their background. But, you know, we never give up, and, you know, we just believe in compassion and second chances.
Wow. Well, I think that's amazing. Yes, they were feral dogs. That's that word. I didn't remember that one either. So the love of animals, everybody has to some degree, I would imagine, a love of animals. You seem to have had, was it growing up, a love for animals, and then at some point it switched to, I've got to do something about this.
A service, yes. I mean, I probably, the first words out of my mouth were not mom or dad. It was probably doggy. I've just,
no.
You know, just been so, just a feeling, just enamored with dogs, just overwhelmed with joy and love just by looking at their little faces. I was even bit by a dog when I was very young, you know, going to a little strange dog. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, the Spider-Man type of issue, but, you know, that didn't discourage me. And, you know, I've always just, I love dogs. I've always had a dog, parts of my life, like when I was in medical school, et cetera. I didn't have one of my own, but we always had family dogs that I can come back to. Yes, it's just kind of been a lifelong adventure and venture regarding dogs and cats, of course. I came to know the plight of dogs from the dog and cat meat trade in Asia, because I also do practice martial arts, and, you know, I go on trips to China, and, you know, my friends, they would always kid me that, you know, we were in a place that they're eating dogs and that the restaurant sells dogs. And, you know, I didn't know whether it was true or not. So, you know, it was always part of my awareness and consciousness. And then, you know, in 2015, 2016, I found out about Animal Hope and Wellness and the work of Mark Ching. And lo and behold, they were, you know, in the same city as me. And, you know, the rest is history.
Mm. Mm, wonderful. And actually, when we come back, there's also another element that most people don't know about adopting versus buying an animal, and what benefits to to the world would be more to adopt and why. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we get back with Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz. And, of course, we're talking about the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, where you can learn more about it at animalhopeandwellness.org. You can donate. You can follow. You can actually visit. I think right now you have to make an appointment, but nonetheless, check that out at the website. When we come back, also later in the show, we're going to have Malia Caravaglio all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and, most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and we're having a conversation with board member of the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. And Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz, MD, is our guest. And Barbara, so the animals in general, before we get into specifics about buying and adopting, animals in general, how much, in your experience, do they seem to understand of what's going on in their life, whether they're being respected or not respected, abused or not abused, in your opinion?
Yes, in my opinion, you know, animals are all sentient beings. And, you know, the work that I've done with Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, you know, has really led into, you know, other avenues and increased awareness and increased awakening, really to the plight of all sentient beings. You know, animals that are being exploited in factory farms, just all sentient beings, not just dogs and cats. They do feel pain. They do feel loss. And, you know, there's a lot of exploitation. You know, it really has opened my eyes and my awareness. And I know that many of our followers have cut down on their consumption of meat and dairy. Some have even gone vegan. It's just something, you know, to consider when you open up your heart and you open up your mind and really open up your eyes to what's going on in the world. We just reached 500,000 people that just died of COVID-19 in the United States. That's just as heartbreaking. And if you think about it, COVID-19 is something called a zoonotic virus. So it originated in animals, and it definitely has to do with our closeness and breeding of so many animals for consumption. And that's how these viruses come about. So we really need to consider the environment and the creatures that we live, well, the beings that we live here on our planet. We all depend on each other and our survival for sure that depends on us, on all of us.
Mm. Indeed. So I brought that up first on our way to adopting versus buying because of if the dogs are understanding, the cats are understanding of the environment in which they were raised, potentially by the time we go and buy an animal or even adopt, obviously they've had a story, they've had an experience, and they know it, right?
Yes, of course, yes. You know, sometimes we have great intentions and want and needs that are lovingly based, but you know, we end up buying a dog that was a puppy that came from a puppy mill. I mean, that is just so tragic. You know, we really have to, you know, do our research and find out where these animals, where these pets, these loving beings are coming from, and not support such horrible places like puppy mills, where there's just beautiful, wonderful dogs at many rescues and at shelters.
So I would imagine that there are people that care for, I mean, I don't know, but people that care for animals and they raise them and then, quote unquote, sell them. But you're saying that the majority of the animals that come from a, quote, puppy mill, that their life sounded horrible from what you were describing to me earlier today.
Well, at least their parents, yes. The parents, the dogs that are being bred to death, literally, in puppy mills, so that, you know, little puppies can be distributed to pet stores around the country. And there's a lot going on in terms of making that illegal, allowing stores to sell puppies. So there's a lot of legislation. People's voices are being heard. Again, it's all about awareness and opening one's eyes to what's happening in the world, and change follows. And these changes reduce the suffering in the world.
And that affects everybody, of course. So potentially a dog that is rescued and adopted, they already might have had a family how did dogs adapt to mm-hmm. new environments?
Yes, dogs are, one major lesson that I've learned throughout my life about dogs is their resilience. I mean, dogs are just such, they're like little fairies from the universe. They're so resilient. I mean, you know, dogs, they have only one eye, they have three legs, they have paralyzed legs. They just, you know, move on with life. They enjoy the love, they enjoy living, they have a gusto for life. They teach us so much, they really do. I have two dogs that were adopted. They were rescued by the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation and other rescuers in China. And, you know, one of them, we feel, Red Bean, was probably somebody's pet, because once we got her to our home, she fit right in. I mean, she just, you know, jumped on the bed and on the couch. Mm. And then the other dog, our little Lucky Lulu, was probably, you know, a street dog. And she was pretty feral, you know, maybe not to an extreme. But, you know, it took a lot of time, you know, for her to relax and accept human touch, and for that little switch in her brain to go off, you know, to actually love humans. And now she's just the happiest little fairy. She dances and prances around, and she's, you know, very loving. But, you know, it took years. It took, you know, a good 2 to 3 years before she was really fully comfortable. And now she's just the happiest little girl.
Mm. I love that story. And so obviously you had the passion for helping her find her way to a happy little girl. I would imagine that you experienced something, changed in the process, learned, grew.
Yes. Yes. In patience, for sure. And, you know, just realizing the full potential of these lovely beings, that, you know, I always say that Lucky, she never plateaus. You know, there's always a new behavior that shows us that she's just opening her heart to the world. And, you know, recently, over the last 3 months, she's like a puppy. She wants to play tug of war. She wants to play with toys. It's just, you know, it's just beautiful to watch. And I think these events, they just expand our heart. They expand our consciousness. You know, we just learn so much.
And I've had that experience, not necessarily with dogs that just the dogs that I've had, but also other people's pets as well. And there's a fine line, because we need to respect if the pet is interested in playing or not, in engaging or not. And that's another point that I wanted to bring in too, because when certain people step into a home and they think, oh, there's a pet, I'm going to go play with the pet. Again, it's not a piece of furniture. If the pet is not enjoying this or not in the mood or just doesn't seem to like a person, then that should be hands off, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, every dog, cat, they all have their unique personality and their unique needs. And, you know, that we have a really great adoption process for Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. We have a wonderful adoption coordinator, Megan, and lots of volunteers. And, you know, when dogs arrive from China or from abuse situations or from Korea, you know, they're very much evaluated. And, you know, we give them to homes, you know, not based on what they look like, or it's mostly based on their personality. And you know, these people are vetted and to make sure they understand just what you're talking about, like where the dog is at and what their potential might be. But right now you have to work with, you know, where the dog is at. And I just also, Filippo, just want to clarify one thing. We no longer have our shelter in Sherman Oaks. We've actually gone full adoption, full foster-based, which is also lovely, you know, to be able to expand so much that we can bring 15, 20 dogs, you know, from China or Korea and find fosters or adopters for all of them in a short period of time. You know, it really just never ceases to impress and amaze me in a very kind way that, you know, these dogs may not be puppies. Some of them are 5 or 6 years old. Some are paralyzed. Again, have only one eye, 3 legs. But, you know, people just love them. They just adopt them and foster them. And it just keeps me in line that human beings can be kind and loving and wonderful. And I think dogs really bring that out in people.
Well, I didn't realize it. It just seemed like a short time ago when I was visiting the shelter. So this is new and news and exciting in a sense, because the dogs are with people that can care for them, as opposed to, actually, it was a very nice facility. So
it was, and it likely won't be our last. But you know, for now, it just wasn't serving our purpose. With the pandemic, with restrictions from airlines, you know, we weren't able to bring like 30 dogs at a time, you know, over from a foreign country. So it just wasn't serving our purpose, and we felt the donations could go to better use for this during this time.
And in visiting the shelter at that point of where the dogs are at or how they feel with the very, like people, when we feel an affinity to somebody and not so much with somebody else, how dogs would come up and want to be let out so they could play right away, and another dog would come with a toy, and they're letting us know what they want. And I know that you have some great stories around that. If you could share one or two of some happy stories of dogs that have been adopted and the experiences that you might want to share when we come back, that would be really great, Barbara. In the meantime, I do want to remind everybody that the shelter, or rather the foundation, is Animal Hope and Wellness. .org, and that's the website. Of course, you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. It's all Animal Hope and Wellness. And then you can also donate at animalhopeandwellness.kindful.com, or you can donate through Venmo at animal hope and wellness. So when we come back, a couple of more fun stories with Barbara, more learning with Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz. And a little later on in that segment, we're going to have the Ask Dorothy question. And then we're going to end our show with live music with Malia Caravaglio, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, and our guest today is Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz. And as we've mentioned, she is an oncologist, and she's also a medical director, and she's also on the board of directors for the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. A little more about that, where you can donate and all that if you haven't heard already or written it down. You can find it on our webpage on thelifechangesshow.com for The Good Doctor. And you'll see all the links there, as well as the Venmo information for donating, if you so choose. You know, Barbara, one of the things that really struck me was the way you all describe that you embrace compassion, education, and legislation to guide hearts and minds toward a brighter future for animals. Can we talk about that?
That's our mission statement. You know, you can't go out into the world and you know, castigate people and criticize people, and we don't ever tolerate racism or angry remarks about, you know, any country or any particular people, because, you know, without the good people in all of these countries, there would be so much more suffering. I mean, you know, we do rescue. Our foundation does rescue. There's many people, private citizens and orders of monks, for example, in China that rescue. We actually do have, by the way, as an aside, we do have a shelter, Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation China. So that shelter we do have. And, you know, we have about 200 dogs that are still in China that were rescued from various slaughterhouse and house situations that, you know, we're waiting to transport to the United States. Actually, 15 of them are coming late next week. So we're really looking forward to that. That's Suki Su is our director there. But getting back to that, you know, I mean, again, you know, dealing even with butchers and slaughterers with compassion, you know, finding out their story and why they do what they do. And, you know, there's one great story of a butcher, a dog meat restaurant owner in Cambodia that Mark Ching actually got to know in a compassionate way, as you say, and the gentleman and his wife, they actually gave up their dog meat rescue, and we helped them set up a vegan noodle shop in Cambodia.
I mean, wow.
It didn't, you know, unfortunately, you know, a year later it didn't really the business failed, but he did not. And we did support him for that year, but he did not go back, as far as we know. He did not go back to having a dog meat restaurant. So, you know, with the similar stories in Korea, where, you know, they farm dogs, and, you know, Mark has destroyed, been able to destroy several dog meat farms and help the butchers with other means of business to sustain their families. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, at least what I heard and some of the stories that I've heard, many of these people do breathe a sigh of relief when they know that they can give this up and it doesn't have to be their life. They don't enjoy doing what they do either in many circumstances. You know, when you open your heart, you know, to hearing people's stories and compassion, and you don't judge, interesting things can happen and things can shift and change.
Wow. Well, those are some good stories already, and not everybody will want a dog for cuddling kind of thing. There are some people that are looking for guard dogs or different reasons. But do you have a good cuddly story for us?
I have a great story, a couple of them, but I'll try to get to one or two. So, Suki Su, our China shelter director, and I, Animal Hope and Wellness, we had close to 1,000 dogs at our shelter in China. So we didn't do a rescue for Yulin 2018, but Suki Su and I went and helped an order of monks called the Garden of Life. They did a rescue of 500 dogs, and we helped with the medical after the rescue. And, you know, that's actually where my red bean came from. And, you know, afterwards, you know, we all went home, and, you know, Suki Su went back to her China shelter, and the monks reached out to us because there was this little tiny, gorgeous brown poodle that was abandoned at their shelter, and they really couldn't take care of him. He was paralyzed. His back legs were paralyzed, and they said, you know, would you guys take this little boy? And we did. You know, we allowed his wounds to heal, and he's now adopted in Connecticut by a lovely woman. His name is Enzo, and he's just a speed racer. He has the most amazing gusto for life. I can send you his Instagram handle, Enzo. He's just like amazing. He's just flying through the snow right now. Talk about that the resilience of dogs. I mean, this dog has more gusto for life, and he's just amazing and absolutely adorable. So he went from, you know, a paralyzed, abandoned a dog in China, and through the love and the communication between people in China, you know, he's now in a lovely home and has just the most fantastic life.
Wow, what a story. Barbara, if you want to send us that handle, we'll put it up on the website for people to see on your page on our website. So that's a great story, and you remind me of the resilience that you were talking about earlier in the show. When, in general, if you happen to know, when a group of dogs like that, 500, as you said, that obviously hadn't lived lives around people that loved them and pet them and all of that kind of thing, I would imagine. Do they, when they're rescued, do they bounce back like en masse? Like all of a sudden, can you just feel the energy of the dogs shifting?
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to, you know, qualify that many of the dogs, probably half or more of the dogs that find themselves in the dog and cat meat trade in some of these countries were somebody's pet that were stolen. So, you know, some of these dogs are, you know, they mourn the loss of their prior owner, and they do adjust, you know, very well, like my red bean. She's just, you know, queen of our house, you know, queen of our hearts. So, like I said, you know, we have to match these dogs to the foster or adopter because they all come around in a different way. And some dogs, like another story, there's a dog named Mr. Boo Boo that was rescued from a slaughterhouse. And, you know, I was in China, helped to take care of him because one of his paws was so mangled from his rescue, where dogs are crammed into these cages and stacked on top of them, that it had to be amputated.
Oh.
Yeah, we brought him, you know, to California to our shelter, and you know, he was just a really grumpy little boy. He snapped at some people. There were some staff that he really loved, and you know, it didn't matter how much it took. Many, many months until he found the perfect home, and he's just having the grandest life, the most loving life. So, you know, they do come around just like you and I or anyone. They have people that they like and don't like. There may be no rhyme or reason, you know, to it. So, yeah, they eventually come around, and some don't. Some, like we talked about, some dogs remain feral, but even then we find people that are willing to open their homes and their hearts, you know, to a dog that they're just going to be able to, you know, feed and make sure, you know, that their well-being is taken care of, and you know, to live out their lives, you know, in peace. And even that's a transformative, even that can be a transformative experience for someone. That, you know, you're not getting this cuddly, you know, pet that you see on, you know, commercials and Hallmark cards, but you know, you're opening your home and your heart and keeping a dog safe and healthy and taking care of another being's needs.
Wow. Yes, I've experienced that, going to people's houses and somebody would say, well, and this is my cat this, and this is my cat that, and that one's my feral one. So she won't come close to you, but she's, you know, and then they'll tell a story of, and one can just feel how the life has been affected, and seemingly always in a positive way with an experience like that. So I'm happy to know that what you're doing is there are a lot of people in your camp. Of course, it's very expensive, so you're always looking for donations, but your hearts are in the right place, and I'm so glad we had this conversation. Is there anything else you want to make sure comes out otherwise, other than to tell people that they can go to animalhopeandwellness.org to learn more or find animals, right?
Yes, we always need fosters and adopters. And, you know, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Yes, we welcome people to check out what we do. And of course, we welcome their support. We are a 501c3, a nonprofit. And, you know, we do the best we can with and try to make a difference in the world.
Well, you obviously are, and thank you for making a difference on our show as well today. What a pleasure to connect with you. Hopefully get to meet you in person someday, Barbara.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz of the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Savannah from Mount Shasta, California. I'm a teacher and a healer, and my clients love me. Today, I had a truly painful realization. As usual, my mom and I had some truly bad moments together, but during our first encounter, I did my best to calm myself and be patient with her in spite of her hurtful words and attitude. However, she was so awful in her second attack that all of my buttons were pushed, and yet I remained calm enough to ask her quietly why she was talking to me and treating me like dirt. She said she had done nothing wrong and that I was bad and wrong, and then I asked her if she could tell how distraught I was when she attacked me, and she calmly answered no, and then added that I had no right to be upset. She refuses to recognize the pain she causes, and I'm hurting because it has become very clear that she doesn't really care at all about me. I'm 40 years old now, and I have been taking care of her since I was 5 years old, and she has never appreciated my efforts for help. For the last 2 months, I've responded by drinking too much and smoking too much, and I know this is not good. How can I get her to value me and love me so I can be calm and happy instead of stressed and drunk?
Dearest Savannah, I understand your pain, as I had a similar situation with my mother until I finally understood that I was the one who needed to value and love me. Humans have been taught and programmed to believe that we are responsible for others' opinions and feelings, and this is simply not true. As long as we are behaving in a loving and respectful manner to those in our lives, this is where our responsibility ends. If you truly desire your relationship with your mother to change, you may wish to engage the help of a family counselor. if she is willing to see one with you. However, if she is not willing to participate, you might wish to get professional help for you. There are many amazing life coaches, and you can do sessions these days by Zoom or telephone, and I suggest that you begin sessions immediately. A good counselor can assist you in understanding that you valuing you and you loving you will change your life. We do not have to put up with abhorrent behavior, although I do understand that this is what so many of us have been taught is normal. Once I drew the line with my mother, my life changed for the better. And as I look back on my situation, I understood that I chose this story so I could help heal others and heal myself. I suggest you listen to the advice you give your clients because there might be the solutions for you in the wisdom you share with others. I found this to be very true for me. I trust you will find ways put yourself first in all of your relationships.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Malia Caravaglio, on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo, and our musical guest is not only a musician, she's a massage therapist, a yoga practitioner, and a guide in Kundalini and Tantra and Yin. She's also known as Leah Light. Welcome to the show, Malia Caravaglio.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is so beautiful. I've been actually plant-based, vegan, vegetarian for most of my life, so that was such a treat to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in tune to all kinds of things, and this is obviously the perfect show for you to be on.
Yes.
You just got back from Hawaii, where you tuned in to all kinds of things, too.
Oh, absolutely. A magical, magical experience.
Well, actually, when you and I were talking, not just connecting with animals, but connecting with plants, you've connected with plants in some very special ways.
Yes. I've been on a plant medicine journey for a little over 5 years now, and it's really inspired me to do music again. I picked up the guitar just 2 years ago, and it's kind of been history ever since. And I actually just got inspired to write the second song that I'm going to do last Wednesday.
Well, this is history in the making in more ways than one. When I found out that you, like 10 years ago, up to 10 years ago, you were doing rock and pop, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you got into the plant medicine, and all of a sudden different kind of music started coming through.
Oh, yes. It was massage, yoga, becoming vegetarian to vegan, and then this beautiful plant medicine starting with ayahuasca journey, and it completely transformed my life and has inspired me creatively.
Well, when Alexandra Eisner, who we thank for introducing us to you, she sent us one of your songs, and we all fell in love with it. It was in Spanish, and we thought, yes. And then it'd be great to have another one. And then evidently you didn't have another one, but you were inspired. I mean, you wanted to share on the show at least. And then I don't know, here you are. And all of a sudden, it's not just a premiere. It's like premiere to you in the way that you're coming forward.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. It's so much fun. And thank you for the inspiration. You know, sometimes I guess we just want to do something for somebody else. And so that worked out.
Well, I love it. Well, actually, that seems to be the theme of your music these days, because the first song that you're going to sing today is, isn't it a song to help people while they go through a journey?
Yes, it's called Arco Iris, which means rainbow, and it's about bridging the light and the dark and incorporating all the sides of ourselves, and rainbows are a very common vision to have.
Well, let's hear it. Well, here is Malia Caravaglio performing Arco Iris, otherwise known as The Rainbow Song, live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
luz y la oscuridad. Río del arco iris sin parar. Y la oscuridad, brillo del arco iris sin parar. Arco iris, tú eres mi amor, todos los colores de mi corazón. Arco iris, dame amor. Arco iris, llena mi corazón. Arco iris, dame amor. Arco iris, llena mi corazón.
Oh, mi corazón.
Sí.
Please. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Lot.
Yes, you're so welcome.
You know, I have to let everybody know that that they could learn more about you and lots more about you, not just your music. Actually, your music is starting to come forward even more. In the meantime, you can find everything else she's doing at sacred-gatherings.com. As a matter of fact, you can find her on Instagram at that too, sacred-gatherings. And then can we give the other website
out?
Okay, so mytantriclife.com and on Instagram also at mytantriclife. And so you have a passion for guiding people living within a tantric life experience?
Yeah, so living tantrically is just living life to the fullest and embracing all different parts. And I can incorporate body work and meditation and sound and live music, basically, when I work with someone. And it's a little bit of a therapy session just for mind, body, and spirit.
So this is interesting because in this next song that you're going to share with us, it talks about like saying goodbye to parts of us kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what parts are we saying?
Well, you know, this song really came through. It talks about my journey being called to the plant medicine world. And then also it just is perfect parallel to 2020 and just what we all went through. And, you know, some people experienced a death of part of them, or they experienced illness, or you know, a death of a job or something like that. And they kind of had to start over. So it's kind of, you know, just saying it's okay and we can have new beginnings.
Well, I felt that just in the title. So I'll just let everybody know. So die, darling.
Yes.
It's the title. And so, you know, the die, and then the darling, I thought, oh, wow. Okay. Let's just hear it. So here
it'll
is.
It'll all make sense.
Yeah, and it'll make sense. So Malia Carvalho, also known as Leah Light, live on the Life Changes Show, performing her new song, Die, Darling.
Where the honeybees, they dance among the trees. Angels, they sang in perfect harmony. And the ocean waves, they played a melody. She called to me, as a dolphin swam a circle around me. I sipped that nectar from the sacred tree. Then the shadows cast, I fell into a sleep and I began to dream, oh dream, dream, dream. When you're broken instead of flying, just mend your wings. When you start to forget, you need reminding, and join your hands. We pray for peace. Sometimes a new beginning looks just like the very end. For peace with grace and ease. Remember you are whole with your body, mind, and soul. Oh, dream, dream, dream. When you're broken instead of flying, just mend your wings. When you start to forget, you need reminding, join your hands in prayer. Oh, dream, break free. Let go of all of it and fly. But first you have to die a little bit. Just die, my darling, die. Just surrender. Then you'll have to die a little bit. Just die. When you're covered in sweat and you're crying and call for grace, it's okay, it's okay. And now you'll have to die a little bit. Just die, my darling, die. Just surrender, oh, dream.
Wow. I'm so glad we invited you on the show at a perfect time while you were still in Hawaii or headed to there and creating this. And
in the process. Life's a process, you know. Like you got to just start sometimes.
We want more. So, Malia Carvalho, you can learn more about her at sacred-gatherings.com or mytantriclife.com. And, of course, on Instagram at either of those or both. Malia, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much. What a treasure.
Looking forward to more. In the meantime, this has been very special. So all the best to you. So once again, we thank Malia Carvalho, and also we thank our guest, Dr. Barbara Jennifer Gitlitz. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.